By the way, you ever see about 5 hours like yesterday's news cycle was for us here? You know, the first thing at 12:30 was really bad news for basically sports broadcasting with all the CBC cuts.
Yeah, 650,
and it's hard to, you know, no matter where you're working, who you're working for, you just feel you'll feel terrible. I've been let go in cuts. I can't imagine having, you know, the swords hanging over a lot of people's heads till the end of the month. It's a terrible story.
A friend of mine that works CBC in Vancouver, it's... because he was waiting and ended up being okay. But I said, I sit here, I feel invincible.
Well, there's still people that don't
never,
know.
No. It's never happened. Yeah. You know, but
it's sort of like when you think about your own mortality, would you rather, at a certain age, something happens suddenly, or would you rather find out you will debilitate slowly over an 8-9 year period? I've seen different things.
What's the matter with you?
Sorry. Stop it. But then really quick yesterday,
morbid freak.
Long before Damien broke the Shanahan news, you had Stephen Colbert replaces David Letterman.
Right.
Yes, then you're like, okay, this is all frivolous. This is interesting. Everyone's got an opinion on this. Then Jim Flaherty passes away.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So you're right. It was really
of
weird.
Stuff,
yeah.
Banging down the door yesterday. Very, very strange. And the Masters and the results themselves almost took a back seat. We head down to Augusta, Georgia right now. Sportsnet's own Damian Cox joins us now. Oh, I forgot the Cathal Kelly move, Damian. That was in on the mix. I don't think it's as important as the other things.
I think it all kind of happened in like a bang, 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 bang. So you're right. It was kind of a weird day. And I'm a little depressed after your choice between dying now or over after a long, debilitating illness.
Oh,
so
yes. Some people have said,
I was feeling kind of upbeat this morning until then.
And some people have said, probably to all of us, do either. Just go away. I don't care. Pick a route.
Yeah, who would ask
pick
that?
A lane.
Also, what makes you more depressed? The 650 jobs lost or Graham Dillette was 8 over yesterday. Really sad.
It's one of those days too where you have to be careful because, you know, when we're joking around and when we're talking about stuff, I personally really found the CBC cut announced yesterday really, really unfortunate. Nobody was surprised, and but for me, and I know it's easy for people to look at the national broadcaster and say get rid of it or you don't love it or whatever, but for me it's important. And I don't like what this government's doing. At the same time, I see it's not just what this government's doing, but what, look, the company that we work for is doing, because it's, you know, taking on this big chunk of the NHL and taking a lot of their way. So things are changing, but so on a larger level, I worry about the CBC, and on a micro level, I really feel for all those people and that have lost positions, and hopefully a lot of them are going to be absorbed into some of the new stuff that's going on.
And just on that, you've got older kids than I do, but even like we all grew up with, forget hockey night alone, but sports weekend, and there's Ernie Afaganis and Brian Williams and Don Whitman and Steve and all these names that we grew up with. And I don't know that your kids have had far more channel selection and far more names on different platforms everywhere, and we all just get things differently, but we all just grew up and CBC was like an old friend. It was a family member almost.
Well, and, I mean, it was reliable, and there are a lot of talented people there. And for me, it's not just CBC television. Of course, it's concern for CBC radio, which does some things that we don't do and that nobody does. And so all this stuff is worrisome. And on, like you say, on a day like today, I mean, that's terrible news with Jim Flaherty, obviously, and on and on and on. And you're right. It all just seemed to be compacted in an amount of hours. And I guess that's why the three of us, in a lot of ways, enjoy doing the things we do, because, you know, being in news and being in sports and being in media, stuff changes like from hour to hour. It just all seems so much faster in this Twitter universe.
That's the way it goes. We were talking earlier, so you get the story out about Shanahan yesterday. It's got a dichotomy, doesn't it, from Vancouver, where general manager fired, president hired the next day. Brendan Shanahan will inherit a general manager. And I understand people thinking, no, there's no doom and gloom, and Dave Nonis won't, nothing's going to happen in the next week or so. But I wouldn't bet dollars to donuts Dave Nonis is here 2 years. I mean, at some point, Brendan Shanahan will want to put more of a stamp on this team, won't he?
Oh, I think that's true. But I would guess, and I don't know this, but I would guess in the short term what you're likely to see is probably a few more people brought in. I think you look at Shanahan's track record of the Department of Player Safety and what they did there. It started as a small group, and then he kept adding people. You know, just last year he added Brian Leach and Patrick Burke. You know, I think he's become a guy who – you know, believes in what we always hear from these guys is you've got to surround yourself with good people, that it's not just a one-man show. And I think he, you know, with Patrick Burke, for example, he showed he can think outside the box a little bit. So there's going to be a press conference on Monday, and I think it's going to be very different than, say, the Brian Burke press conference of 4 or 5 years ago. There's not going to be a great rhetorical flourish and all sorts of promises made. I think you'll see Shanahan almost very low-key, almost grim in a way, as he'll say, I'm just here to work and do a job. And I think that's probably the approach that people are going to want. And I think that the changes that are going to come and the things that are going to happen aren't going to be necessarily recognizable in the next 3 months or 6 months, but probably the three of us will have this conversation in 2 years, unless one of us has died immediately or suffered from a long debilitating illness. And we'll say, okay, this is what he did, that he did this and then this and this and this and this. That's what I think is going to happen. The impact will be gradual as opposed to immediate and spectacular.
Damian Cox, our guest on Brady and Walker. So here's the question for you, because we all know Brendan Shanahan through, you know, the NHL discipline office in his playing career and inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame just months ago. What is his reputation when it comes to interior management types? I think Trevor Linden's almost easier to read because he's Mr. Vancouver and he's a successful business guy and he's a handshaker and everybody loves Trevor Linden. What do people think of Brendan Shanahan and his management IQ right now?
Boy, that's a really interesting question, because like a lot of prominent people or people who rise, you know, you can go out there and find critics of Brendan Shanahan who don't like his style, who find him very political and all that sort of stuff. And then you can find people who are huge boosters of Shanahan. And I bet you would list Gary Bettman as one of them. He just thinks
definitely
the world
yeah.
of this guy. I think that, there's going to be doubters. There's going to be doubters always about, whether he can do it and whether the Leafs as an organization, as a sports conglomerate, is even capable of having one man put good ideas down on paper and then following through on them. I think that probably the best thing about Shanahan is I don't think he cares a whole lot anymore what a lot of the people think about him, and I think he used to. I think there was a time where he tried, particularly at the beginning with his handing out suspensions, to be reasonable and explain to everybody and try to get everybody to leave the room feeling good about what had been decided, and he quickly found out that's impossible. To me, that's a pretty good mindset to bring in to running the Leafs, because if he starts listening to me and you guys mm-hmm. and all the fans and everything, that's the quickest way out the door and the quickest way to not have success.
I can only judge what I saw when he got into that Detroit room, which had the Russian Five at the time and Yzerman and Mike Vernon then for a year, is he was kind of an outsider early on. He's almost, you know how hockey, it's a hockey thing. I know this and you know this. He was almost too smart, and the guys make fun of the guys that read a lot and watch documentaries, and like, it's almost like he was too clever for a lot of them. And I thought they treat him as a bit of an outcast for a couple of years until they started winning Stanley Cups, and then everybody gets along with everybody.
Greg, you're bang on. I mean, that was absolutely the way it was. And I really felt that Scotty Bowman and Steve Yzerman kind of shut him down a little bit. And he said, okay, I'll play this game. And yep. It worked for him, and it worked for them as a team. And I also think that, all these things shape a person and a professional as they move forward. And the one thing we know is, like, that organization in Detroit has spawned so many good people who have gone to do other things. I mean, even right now, Steve Yzerman, Jim Nill, Paul McClain, Todd McClellan, on and on the list goes of people from that organization who have gone out and really made a difference with other franchises. And while he wasn't sort of an original Red Wing in the same way as Yzerman or Kenny Holland, he was there and it was influential. And don't forget, he was in New Jersey for a long time with Lou Lamoriello, and Lamoriello brought him back. And like I said, I think you look at the way the Department of Player Safety has evolved in recent years and how he runs it. I think you've seen an evolution of thought and philosophy in that too. So you know, I've been through this a bunch of times now. When Cliff Fletcher came to town, when Ken Dryden came to town, when Pat Quinn came to town, when Brian Burke came to town, and every time it was going to be different because this person was of such a stature that they would have an impact on a franchise that would last and last and last, and it never happened. And for a bunch of reasons, one of which was ownership was either, you know, unstable or changed. So, you know, there are factors here that will decide how Shanahan does as boss of the Leafs beyond whether he's, you know, capable of doing the job.
We can only guess what Shanahan thinks about retaining the coaching staff, but I'll ask you, what are the optics if that's the route that the Leafs want to go, is not making a change with the coaches?
I mean, I think the optics all change now. Because, the new guy and comes in and, look, I haven't sat down and talked to him extensively about, you know, the coach and the players and all that sort of stuff, but you can bet he's been studying it all for a considerable period of time and will have his opinions, but he'll also let Dave Notice do his job. And, you know, Shanahan's not the general manager. He's not going to come in and say, you got to fire the coach. Again, optics is one of those funny things, and, you know, that's an interesting word to use because it goes back to what I said before about, you know, too often, and maybe, you know, if you're going to run the Leafs, are you really going to listen to me and you and Andrew and all the fans because we think the coach didn't do a good job or bad job? No, you're going to make that decision yourself, and you're going to have to insulate yourself against, you know, the changing winds of public opinion and try to do the right thing. And I can tell you that Dave Nonis, you know, a number of weeks ago was very confident that Randy Carlyle would be back as Leaf coach, that he felt the period of time hadn't been long enough for Carlyle to really show what he could do, and he thought he hadn't given Carlyle good enough players. Now, whether this losing streak has changed things, I don't know, but I also know that the hiring of Shanahan changes things again, and I think all options are open now.